page 182 in Rome, I believe. I have heard of a land on the far away strand, is a land where we'll never grow.
Glad to know he's holding our hands, leading to guidance. Amen. At this time, would anybody have a need upon their hearts? Anybody in that case? Amen. Let's take it before you, direct in the world. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we gather here once again. Lord, we think of all the brothers and sisters, Lord, who came together here with us today, this night. Lord, they're on our hearts. Lord, we appreciate them. We love them. Lord, we ask you to bless them, Lord, and meet every need that they have. Lord, I know some of the older ones, Lord, that have been on my heart today. Lord, I appreciate it. Lord, I just ask that you give them a special blessing tonight, Lord. Brother Leffler and Sister Leffler. Lord, Sister Rickards, and Sister and Brother Dino. Lord, all the older ones that walked with you all these years. Lord, I just pray you'll bless them tonight in a special way. Lord, I know it gets lonely being at home. Locked up. Lord, keep a special blessing on my Lord, I ask in my prayer. Lord, and all the ones who help take care of them. Lord, and all these, our other brothers and sisters, Lord, we ask you to bless us with them. Lord, the hearing of thy word again this night, Lord, it's so important in this life. Lord, that's why we're gathered here, Lord, is for your word, Lord, to come across this pulpit, Lord, and to be, Lord, wedged down in our hearts. Lord, and to go out tomorrow and to live it, Lord, by your grace. So, Lord, we ask for your blessings once again. We give you all the glory and the honor that's due to you. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.
In the darkest hour, God placed us here on earth. In a time of unbelief, when it seems that no one could stand on his word. In an hour when there's so many pleasures to entice, yet we were born with something special inside. We were born with that little seed of faith, born to recognize we're sons and fulfill every promise he made, born to rule and reign over all circumstances of life. Born with the equipment needed for the job already inside. God did not take a chance that someone might believe. He predestinated a plan. From beginning to end we see. Made us so we would place that word on our lips unafraid. Born to declare God's generation today. We were born with that little seed of faith, born to recognize we're sons and fulfill every promise he made, born to rule and reign over all circumstances of life. Born with the equipment needed for the job already inside.
Only believe. Let us just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come asking tonight that you would help us to believe, Lord. And Lord, everything that you speak to us through your word, may we be able to say amen. Amen from the depths of our heart. May the doors of our heart be open that every word could come in, Lord, and produce a beautiful, grand fruit. But Lord Jesus, that there would be a people upon this earth that prove that you are alive, that you are the living God, not a God of wood or stone or a God of just hope and wishful thinking, but Lord, a God of reality in our lives. So we ask that you would bless us now, Lord, and get down and not only here, Lord, but into each home, and help each one, Lord, not to let anything distract them now. Lord, we must be ready in this hour. It's a serious time. And help us now, Lord, as we commit ourselves unto thee, that you may get your glory and honor through everything that's said and done. In your precious name we ask. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, you're happy to be here again this evening, and happy to sit there in your room wherever you're at listening. Amen. Trust that you are, because we're living in a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day, and a glorious day. Though it may, the world may look dark and bleak, but yet in Christ there is light. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Psalms. Psalm 42, and read a scripture we read when we first started this little series. Enjoyed that little song they sang tonight. Appreciate that. Amen. And again, I want to say I appreciate Brother Timothy helping out so much, and he's had a lot to do there in the last few weeks, and I appreciate it. I am so thankful that he has the desire to help out like that, and tries to find out things we need to know and everything. And again, Lord willing, after I believe it's Wednesday, maybe we'll have a little faster speed so that as your stream, it might turn out a little better for you, those that have to listen at your homes and so forth. But let's go back into this now. Tonight we're going to talk a little more about that soul and just let the Word of God kind of express something, this certain channel to us. And I trust it will help each and every one of us. And don't forget about what we were speaking about this morning. In Psalms 42, let's read here first to the third verse. As I said, we read this couple weeks or so ago. To the chief musician, a psalgal for the sons of Korah, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth. Now watch this. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. Now remember, the soul is the real you. That's the real me. Okay? My soul thirsteth for God. Now notice that. For the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? May God bless reading his word. You may be seated. Amen. But again, we want to talk about that soul, which each one of us have. And we want to, again, make sure we understand these things for, many probably understand these things. Yet it's always good to go back over it again. But there's been a little certain thing I've wanted to make sure we understood in a little certain channel to see as we go back through these things. Because we do see that there is so much pretense in this hour and so much make-believe and hypocrisy. And people not knowing, they might say out of one side of their mouth, as the old saying is, they know how to live for God and they're living for God. But then when you have to point it to Scripture, then we find out it's not just like people say sometimes. So we want to understand these things and see what's taking place in the hour in which we do live, and see how important this soul is that God has given you. And again, we spoke about in the song, the equipment. We spoke about last week about the equipment God give you. God give you the exact equipment you need to do exactly what he said to do. He didn't send us here on earth and give us this life on earth and expect us to do this on our own, because he knew we couldn't do it on our own. So he gave us the complete formula it would take to bring forth what he required. So in reading this, I want you to notice there again how even David, how this condition was in his heart of thirsting. His soul was thirsting for God. And notice he said the living God, you see. And he says here, when shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat. You see, his crying out to God was what was sustaining him. To have that burning inside, wanting to see this living God and know this living God in reality. While they continually say unto me, where is thy God? See, David wanted the people to see this manifesting living God. That it was not just something that people pick up a Bible and read about it and try to imagine that there is this God, and try to imagine trying to be a good person, try to imagine living for him and living for him in a right way, and hopeful and wishfully thinking that and trusting that they'll one day have eternal life. No, God is much more real than that, friends, when he comes within your heart. And that's what we must understand, because until you have that personal relationship with Christ and know that he is alive and living and real and see him control your life, to me that's one of the greatest, most wonderful things there is in life. It's to see when things go wrong, when people do things terribly to you, and you see something take you over that you knew wasn't there before. That when somebody can revile against you and come against you and say terrible things to you, nasty things to you, get upset with you, do terrible things against you, and truly from your heart, you want to forgive them. Yeah. And you can be as, because we can see how it was passed down from Christ when he was on the cross. You know, as Jesus was hanging there on the cross and they was doing all these things to him, they hung him there, they crucified him. And he said before his spirit left, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And that same Holy Spirit That same Christ was in Stephen, as we talked about today, was in him. And he also said, Father, hold not this charge against them. Forgive them. They don't know what they do. That same Holy Spirit. Now, if that same Holy Spirit is living in us, we'll do the same thing, regardless how nasty and how bad somebody treats us. Yeah. Well, it's easy for people to say they're Christians. It's easy for people to say they're believers. It's easy for people to say they're born again, as long as everything's going all right. But that's the thing. The way God set it up, things ain't supposed to go all right. For the fiery test and trials tries our faith, friends. It's more precious than gold. It's something very precious to be tried. It's something very precious to have people treat you mean and dirty. Yeah. Get upset with you. It's precious. Because you have the opportunity to see who's really living in you and who's really controlling your senses. Yeah. The senses of the Spirit. What's really controlling them? When somebody reviles and comes against you, do you imagine and begin to think, how can I get back at this person? Or maybe somebody done something to you in the past and you remember it and you're always holding a grudge in your heart against that person because of what they done to you. So what is really controlling those senses of the Spirit? Remember, there was five senses of the Spirit. There's imagination, conscience, reasoning, yeah, affection, all these different things, reasoning, imagination, memory, all these things. So what's controlling that? Okay? What's keeping it under submission? The new birth comes, and if Christ is in you, it'll bring those senses under submission to the Word. And it's such a, what I just said is just so simple. And so many people believe it. But doesn't it seem strange that when the trials come, it doesn't seem to be nothing there to control it? So what is the problem? Are we supposed to go on till the Lord appears and don't overcome and just let these things keep coming up and our senses not being controlled? We keep getting upset with people? Yeah. No, it ain't supposed to happen that way if you have the new birth. So that's what we want to kind of talk about, because we kind of have gotten to the place, even Christians, we call it, have gotten to the place that that's just life. We're in this flesh. We ain't never going to overcome all those things. That's not Scripture. By no means. And if we think that's Scripture, that we can just do whatever and not worry about it being an overcomer, we have definitely got a wrong picture in our mind. And a lot of people do. A lot of professing believers and born-again people, they say they are, has this issue. And that's why I feel so responsible to make sure that they understand what's happening. Be it may that they are told they're not born again by the Word of God, and they don't want to accept it. At least it's off my shoulders, he was told. See, I realize I'm speaking to many different people tonight. But we must understand these things. Can you imagine if I understood these things and I see these things and would never say anything about it and just let people go on thinking they're born again when they're not? You know what the Scripture says I would be? A traitor. Yeah, I'd be a traitor. Not to tell you the truth. Though the people may get upset at me, and they may think in their mind, they may not say it out loud, but they may think in their mind, you don't know what you're talking about. I can prove I'm born again. It ain't what you can prove. There ain't none of us, not a one of us, can prove anything that we're born again. Only Jesus Christ living in us proves we've had a new birth. You see? And people think, I'm going to prove this. I'm going to tell you I'm born again. I know I am. What does the Word say? That's the final answer, you see. But so many people have been deceived into it and thinking they're born again. I remember a time, friends, when preachers would get up and say, you're not going to do this with us if you don't claim you're born again. You're not going to be the rest of this group or the rest of us people if you don't say you're born again. Of course, not even having a clue of the truth. They're going to sit back there and not do anything and say, no, I'm not born again. They're going to sit there and say, I'm born again, so they can get to do everything everybody else does. See? And that's the kind of theory or the creed that keeps living. That has to be killed. And the only thing that can kill it is God's Word. See? You have to understand truly what a new birth is. And again, if you are truly born again, as I bring these things out in the Word, what an assurance you can have. But if you find out you're not, though maybe at one point of time you thought you was, maybe one point in life you thought you could say, I'm born again. But now you sit there tonight and you're in a position, I don't know. Especially after you get done, I don't know what's going on in my life. Well, then you better cry out to God. You see? As David was talking about here, his tears being his meat, crying out to God. Now, if you turn within the book of Jeremiah, those have their Bible with me, Jeremiah 29, and we'll read something here. Jeremiah 29, begin 11th verse. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace. Now here he's, if you're a little elected of God, friends, God's thoughts toward you is peace. Okay? And not of evil, to give you an expected end. It's in his heart, it's in his great mind to give you an expected end. Expected end in this, if you look it up, it's a blessed end. You see, it's something of a glorious, blessed life after this mortal life is over. All right? An expected end. Okay? Then shall ye call upon me. Now listen. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. You feel something in your heart calling out and crying out to God, Lord, I'm beginning to see I really need you. There's something wrong in my life. I know it ain't right, and I need you. Then call out to God. Yeah, cry out to him. As Jeremiah puts there, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Isn't he a wonderful God? You see? And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now, where's that kind of desire coming from? I mean, what's the work of this? You know? Is it see, taste, feel, smell, and hear? No. It'll work through that. Is it imagination, memory, conscience, affection? These different things? Is it that? No, what he's talking about comes from down deeper than that. And that is the soul. A soul, a gene of God, a seed, if you may call it, that he placed in there. There's something about it that when it begins to get under the right condition, it begins to cry out to God. As I've said before, now, you know, that happens in different stages of life with different people. Not everybody's the same. It may come to them when they get in their 80s or 90s. Yeah. It may come to them when they're in their 40s. It may come to them when they're just a child. Yeah. Something calling out and feeling that something deep on the inside crying out to God. So the age doesn't make any difference. You see. Now with mine, as I've told it before, it was at a young age. I'm going to say these things for a reason. With me, it was an age, very young. I was only about 5 years old, as I've said before. And we went to an old Pentecostal church down in Mary City. And clear back then, there was something down on the inside of me crying out for God. See, I didn't understand what it was about. I was too young. But I just knew when I would get in that services and the preaching of the word would come forth, and even being the little feller I was, I begin to feel conviction in my heart. There was something about it that was stirring on the inside. And when they'd have an altar call, I'd run to the altar. And I would cry out to God. I mean, I would literally cry. And just a tiny little fellow. Crying out to God, trying to feel this longing that was in my heart. Something was taking place that was very special. And those that have had that happen in their life, you see how special that is. It's very precious. It makes you so thankful that it was there, you see. But like I say, with some people, it takes a different time in life. Different circumstances begin to stir it. And then it begins to swell up on the inside, and you start feeling something begin to draw you. But I want you to remember something, as the scripture says, which I'll read. There isn't nobody can do this drawing on their own. No. For it says in St. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. There's something so special about that draw. As I said a little bit ago, it's very precious. You know, it's sometimes hard to explain to people. It's so real, so different than normal life. It's something so powerful. You know, people talk about, oh, I want to be an astronaut someday, and they think they got a pole for that. They want to be a race car driver, or they want to be this, they want to have this certain job, and this, that, and the other, and they say they got a pole for it. Them kind of poles has nothing to what this pole is, what this draw is. That doesn't even come close to it, my friend. This is something that is so special and so tremendous in a man or a woman or a young person's life. That where it becomes the most important thing is trying to fulfill that draw that you feel on the inside. Like I said, now some may not understand why I'm going through these things. But just sit back and just say amen to it if you don't need it yourself. But I'm sure probably if you listen to everything I'm going to even bring tonight, you're going to find a little spot that's going to be good for you too. You know. But we find here, I want to read here in this message, Thirst, some things the prophet said. And he was talking about Psalms 42 and 7 and then going on with it. But he says it in a much better way than I could ever explain it. So I want to read it to you. He said, now David said in the Psalms 42, 7 here, when the deep calleth unto the deep, at the noise of thy waterspout, the soul's call. Yeah. Look, I've often used this as an illustration. If there is a fin on a fish's back, it had to be put there for him to swim with. Can we all agree with that? I mean, why would God put a fin on a fish if it wasn't going to swim? You know, God had a reason putting a fin on a fish. I mean, just simple as that. He said he had a need for it. And that's what he said, see? And I'm going to be, he says, now you can't say, well, I'm going to be a different fish and I'm going to be a smart, educated fish. I'm going to believe some real theology here and I believe I don't have to have that fin. Well, he wouldn't get very far in the water, would he? No. He didn't have that fin. He wouldn't get very far in the water. No. What if a tree would say, I know there had to be an earth first for me to grow in? That's right. I'm supposed to grow in the earth, but I'm going to be a different tree. I want them to just set me out there in the middle of the street so I can be noticed. Yeah, that's what some people like doing. They just want to be noticed. He said, but see, a tree wouldn't live very long. Not out there on that blacktop. In the heat of the day, and the sun just scorching it, no moisture. It wouldn't live very long. Nah. But God had a reason why he made the earth and planted a tree in the earth, in the soil. Had a reason for it. Okay. When the deep call to the deep, it takes more than just joining a church. Are you listening? It takes more than shaking hands with the preacher. Or to say, I know you, preacher. You're my buddy. You're my friend. I know the people. You know, so I'm joining church. And no, it's more than that. Okay. It takes more than living a straight life. Oh. Does that kind of trigger anything? It takes more than living a straight life. I thought, Brother Steve, that was it. I go out and I try to live the best I can. I live a very straight life and I don't do anything wrong. Well, I've never done anything wrong, you might say. Yeah, you did. The day is born. And as soon as you start growing, we were all born in sin and shape of iniquity. We all came in this world lying, cheating, stealing, getting angry, all these things. You see, right? It takes something to satisfy inside of you. A little predestinate has had something placed down on the inside that they long to have satisfied. That's very special. I repeat, very special. To have something down on the inside that you want satisfied. Now, I've got to remind you again, there's different ages people are that they start feeling this pull in life oftentimes. There may have been a little something to start with, but maybe a right condition come along, and now there's something really beginning to develop. Just like the natural seed now. If you take a natural seed, it can have a germ of life in it just as real as can be and just as alive as it can be. But until I put that seed in the right condition, it's still just going to lay there. Now what the Holy Spirit's trying to do in your heart and your life this night even, friend, is make sure you see the right conditions approaching. Now what are you going to do with it? Okay. He says it takes something to satisfy inside you that pours down from God into the soul. Because that's what God's dealing with, the soul. Not dealing with your senses, your reasoning, imagination, affection, conscience, memory. He's not dealing with that. He's not dealing with your feeling, your smell, your taste. No, he's not dealing with that. He deals with the soul is what God deals with. Okay? That pours down from God into the soul, the deep call into the deep, at the noise of thy waterspouts, O Lord, as David said, the deep call into the deep. Okay? He said, what kind of a thirst could we think was in us tonight? What kind of thirst do you have in you, friend? What kind of thirst do I have in me? Okay. He says, what kind of a thirst is in us? What kind of a thirst is in me? What kind of a thirst is in you, he repeats. He said, but don't try to hush that holy thirst for God. Don't try to hush it with something that ain't God's. Something that don't belong to God. Don't try to hush it with that. There's been many people try to hush that thirst down on the inside by trying to stay busy. Something begins to deal with their heart, but they got to stay busy and keep their mind off of it. Or maybe they'll feel they have to have a fancy automobile. Maybe they'll feel they got to have a fancier home. They got to do more work on the home to keep them occupied and keep their mind off of it. There's many things a man or woman can do trying to hush that holy thirst on the inside. But don't hush it with that, friends. No. Years ago, he's going to give us a little example here, and we'll probably most of us remember this, but let's read it. Years ago when they used to have gold out here in the mountains, I read a story many years ago, and it always stuck with me. It said there was a prospector that went out here somewhere beyond the mountains here and was prospecting for gold. And he struck a rich claim. He found a lot of gold, you see. And he come back thinking, when he got to the city, got back to the city, what he would be. His troubles would all be over because he had all this gold, you know. And he couldn't wait to get back to the city to sell this gold. Get all this money. And oh, how that would take care of a lot of problems in his life. And he'd say, tomorrow I'll get in and I'm just one day's journey now from the city. And he would have the gold and he had big sacks full of it. And he had this dog with him. And of course he says, now I'm not comparing this dog to the Holy Spirit, but he's shown us as a type. Okay? He's kind of using this dog, what it was doing, and the warning sign it was going to give, what the Holy Spirit would do. So he goes on to say, but as I'm making this illustration, through the night, the prospector laid on his bed, and he began to think. Here he is, he's got all this gold he found, and my, he's thinking about it, his mind's on it. You know, some people's got their mind on their home, and maybe a nice job they got, and this nice vehicle they got, or this nice entertainment they go to. And they got their mind on, and they're just thinking about that, laying in their bed and trying to go to sleep, but they're just thinking about, oh, how nice this is to have this and to do this and be able to afford that, you know. He said, I'll take that gold in, and I'll become just what I always wanted to be. Always wanted to be a rich man, he said. Always wanted to own fine things and so forth. Always wanted a nice home, nice job, nice automobiles, nice fancy boat. Just all kinds of things, you know. And then this dog began to bark. I wonder if the Holy Spirit is barking down in your heart right now. Maybe the last few days, last few weeks, something's been going on in your heart. Something began to stir something because you see times are really getting rough. And yet, this is still easy time. But times are looking rough. People are laid off by the millions. Had to draw employment. Hundreds of thousands have still not got unemployment. Can't get it yet. They're fighting for it, arguing over it. Jobs lost. So many things you can't do. This kind of draws our attention. Could this be the beginning of the end? It's coming. It's coming. And things may look like it'll straighten up for a while. But watch for the plagues begin to start. Watch for all the different things that will happen. People are getting worried. They're not at rest. And just within a few months before this, people was excited. The president was bringing the economy back and people making money like they never made before, and new jobs created, everything looking so good, everybody's so happy. Now, it seems like everything's getting jerked out from underneath of them. Yeah. And when this dog began to bark, and because there was an enemy approaching, that's why this dog began to bark, because an enemy was approaching. Yeah. Your enemy, the adversary, which is the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, the scripture says. Are you going to let him devour you? Or are you going to listen to that still small voice? That draw is taking place down on the inside. Will you surrender? Or are you too proud? Do you know too much, you think? You wouldn't want people to see you seeking this. As Brother Timothy mentioned, there's not old Nicodemus again. No. The Nicodemus by night, went and sought to try to get something from Jesus. This dog began to bark because there was an enemy approaching, and he went out there and he said, "Shut up!" He was aggravated, this dog, because he couldn't get sleep and he was barking. Didn't realize it was his warning sign. And so the dog quieted down for a little bit. Do you want to keep buying another new vehicle so you can try to quiet it down? Keep the dog from barking? Do you want to try to find some entertainment you can do since there's so much closed up, but you're looking for something else you can do to try to keep your time occupied because something's dealing with your heart and you think you can satisfy and kind of push it out of your mind? Not a wise thing to do, because you ought to be the happiest person ever to walk the face of the earth if you got something drawing on the inside of you. Oh, y'all be so happy. Y'all be so thankful. And no more than got back in bed, he started like he was going to go to sleep, and the dog started again. Just jumping at the chain. You ever seen dogs do that? Especially when something they don't like or wanted around, they're just jumping at the chain, banging and stretching the chain. And he went to the door again and said, "Shut up! I want you to know tomorrow I'm a rich man. I want you to know tomorrow I'll have another new automobile. I want you to know tomorrow I'm going to have this home I've wanted for years. I want you to know tomorrow I've finally got this job I wanted ever since I was young. I want you to know tomorrow I have what I've always wanted. And yet there's something to banging at your heart." "I will be a rich man tomorrow." And that was his great dreams, you know. But this dog started barking again. Wow, now he's getting to the point that it's kind of getting irritated at him. Sometimes that's when the preacher starts getting irritated and you're about ready to shut things off. Because it's getting irritated. It's starting to get aggravated. Because it bothers you. But yet there's something down inside telling you, you need Christ. You need Him. And finally he got so discouraged, he went and got his shotgun and shot the dog. And killed it. And he said, "I won't have no use for you anyhow tomorrow." Is that what you're going to tell the Holy Spirit? It's pecking at your heart? "After tomorrow, I won't need you." Yeah, that preacher about had me convinced at one moment, one point in my life. But after tomorrow, I don't need that preacher. I don't need God's word. What are you going to do? You going to try to shoot it? Kill it? It's the most precious thing that you could ever have in life. "Tomorrow I'll be a rich man. And I'll become a rich man tomorrow," he repeats. And he set the gun down in the corner and turned his back over to the door and went to sleep. But not knowingly, a man had been following him for days, knowing that he found this gold. And the enemy was following him, keeping an eye on him at a distance, just waiting for the opportunity to kill him and to take the gold. He says, but he slipped in and killed him. And then he wasn't a rich man. No. all his dreams perished with him. And sometimes we live our days in this life like we're going to live forever. Sometimes we feel in ourselves we're so self-sufficient, and I'm so healthy, and I'm strong, and I'm this, and I'm that. And then a sickness strikes and shows you how weak you are. Yeah. Shows you're not as strong and healthy as you thought you was. You realize tomorrow you could push and keep pushing this blessed draw out of the way. And tomorrow you could wake up with a pain in your side. And you don't know what it is. And you don't think much about it. So a couple more days go by and it keeps getting worse. And you try to push it out of your mind. And a couple more days goes by and it's getting worse. So then you decide maybe you ought to go get it checked. And what if the doctor tells you you're clear full of cancer? And he gives you 6 weeks to live. What will you do then? Are you still tough? Are you still all sufficient? Do you still know where you're going when you die? Do you have an assurance? Or do you not know what will happen to you? Well, if you'll listen to God's word, He'll put you on the right path if you'll listen to that holy thirst and that deep calling of the deep. And brother, sister, you will not ever be able, he said, don't never try to hush that holy calling in your heart by joining a church. Say, well, I've got something in my heart, so I'm going to join church. Well, that's at least the starting point. At least you ought to start going to church or listening to the word or reading the word. But that don't totally satisfy it. Thank God it didn't satisfy to me. It took the new birth, friends, a baptism of the Holy Spirit coming down in my heart and killing that old worldly nature I was born with to satisfy that, friends. And guess what? It's still burning. There's still a greater hunger to keep climbing higher in Christ. It'll never stop. No. By reciting a creed, does that stop it? No. By belonging to a certain organization? No, that don't stop. There's only one thing that can satisfy it. That's the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so doth my soul thirst for thee, O God, the living God. See, there is something in you that wants you to see the moving of God in your life. Your soul thirsts for it. If you've been predestinated, my friend, and God has placed that in your heart, yield to it. Yield to it. It'll be the best thing you've ever done in life. Yes. He said, don't stop anything short of that. Don't let some pastor tell you. You just have to shake a hand. That's all you have to do. Don't you let no pastor ever tell you that. No. Join a church or belong to this organization. Don't you never listen to that. Don't you never listen to some priest tell you, you come to the little confession booth, confess what you've done wrong, give me a few bucks, and it's all cleared up. Just keep on. You're going to walk and you're going to make it to heaven. Don't you never listen to that. That's a lie from hell. Don't you kill that holy hush. Friends, I'm telling you, it's holy. And it's so sweet. It's so precious. I don't know of anything sweeter than that sweet, sweet Holy Spirit. Oh, we sing a little song. Sweet Holy Spirit. It's warning you. You don't realize it's warning you right now as you're listening to me. You may say, oh, no, that's just a preacher up there behind that pulpit. God uses man for his representative. The scripture says, through the foolishness of preaching, so is a man shall be saved. You see? So God uses that. God's using it tonight to try to get something down in your heart that you will listen and that you will yield. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Just think where we'd have been, friends, if the Lord Jesus Christ would have been ashamed to go to that cross for us and never went because of being too ashamed. No. But he was thinking of you and I when he went to that cross. That he knew that he'd wash our sins away, and through him, the plan of redemption would go through. See, people don't realize, I'll close here because my time's over for this evening, but people don't realize what redemption is. They think it's some foreign thing or something like that. Redemption is to be redeemed back. To be redeemed back, you had to be there somewhere in the first place. Oh, my. See? That's what we'll eventually want to get to, too. Honestly, I wish I could just keep on going, you know, because I'm afraid you'll do something and distract you, lose your attention. But Lord willing, we'll pick us back up now. But I trust these things so far, again, has been something that will stir in your heart. And if nothing else, it will reassure or renew the confidence, assurance in your own heart, if you are born again, you see, that you'll know without a doubt you are born again, free from sin, happy night and day. Oh my, how great he is. Isn't he so wonderful? Why don't you come to us, please, if you would, sisters. We're kind of blessed tonight. We've got both players here with us. Amen. That's pretty good. Amen. All righty. I was thinking about this song. We'll just sing a couple verses of it, but I was thinking about it earlier today. And I'll read the first portion of each one of them. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. Remember the thief that hung on the one side? Yeah. And Jesus said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. The other one had nothing good to say, but this one knew that he was the Christ. Jesus was the Christ. Emmanuel. And there may I, though vow as he. Yeah, just as dirty as that old thief was. Yeah. Wash all my sins away. Thou dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. It's page 54. To all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ever since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Oh, hallelujah. Then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing, thy power to save, when this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. Oh my, there is a fountain filled with blood. Let's sing that verse. There is a fountain turn filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Lose all. Hallelujah. Stains, lose all their guilt. guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, whose all their guilty stains. Sing that third one. Thou dying lamb, thy precious blood never lose its power, till all, hallelujah, glory, thank you, Lord, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Till all the ransomed church of God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Suttles, why don't you come up, dismiss us, if you would. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Gracious Lord. Thank you, sweet Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. All we sing about his blood. You sing about his blood, what he's done for us.
Hallelujah.
All what it does to you. Amen. Yes. To think the price he paid. And it's free, saints.
Amen.
Just laying there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly appreciative for the opportunity we had to gather around your word. Wherever we may be, Lord, Father, your spirit
thank you,
is
Jesus.
All over, Lord. It doesn't matter what situation we're in. But Father, you come down in the room where we are. Father, deal and speak to every heart. May we not push it aside, Lord. Father, but may we allow you to come in. Open the door to you, Father. Lord, I think oftentimes it was spoken of the other day, but Lord, of that picture the man drew, and they said it went before the critics. They couldn't find anything wrong, but it showed Jesus at the door, yes, knocking. But there wasn't no knobs, and they thought maybe he had forgot something. But he said, no, it's the door to your heart, and you have to open.
Yes, amen.
Oh, God, may each and every one of us, Father, open our hearts. Allow you to
yes,
come in,
Lord.
Sweep out all the filth.
Yes.
That he may abide in us. Lord, we love you. Have your way now, Lord.
Glory to God.
Bless each and every one of us. And may your will be done. We thank you again.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, until we meet again, in your precious holy name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.